the phones again. Hey, morning, how are you doing? Where are you calling from?
Brother, what are you doing this morning?
Hey, I got Congressman Steve Pierce on the phone.
I noticed that.
So he's
here. I wonder if he's ready for me.
So you got a question for him?
I got a couple questions.
All right, go ahead.
Hey, Congressman, when are we actually going to get some common sense in Washington?
When are we going to get the comments fixed in Washington?
No, the common sense.
Oh, the common
sense.
Yeah,
when are we going to get some common sense in Washington? Because half the stuff that they're doing up in Washington really don't make no sense. And, you know, we just going, it's like a tug of war kind of thing going on up there. People can't make decisions, and the decisions that they're making are really not adding up. We're not getting no results.
You're exactly right. You'll see that I'm voting differently than my party, different from the other party, because I just say that common sense tells us we could do better. We could just cut the fraud out of Medicare. Forget the sequester. Just cut the fraud out of Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. That's $200 billion. And so when I ask Democrat leaders and Republican, they say, well, that's too hard. Now, too hard is cutting our military when we're in a time of stress.
Yeah.
And so... myself, I said, I know how I could fix that Medicare fraud. And they said, how? I said, we simply tell the departments we're going to take $200 billion out of your budget.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't stop the fraud, we're going to take it out of your paychecks. We're going to come out of payroll if you can't do your job. It's that simple. If we can't do your job, we ought to fire them.
Well, let me tell you this. It sounds good, and don't get me wrong, but it's going to come a time before that these tactics that this It's gonna come down to where, you know, we're gonna get fed up. We're gonna get fed up to the point where, you know, we ain't not getting nothing, and then we're gonna have to put something in play. We're gonna have to put something in this Constitution where it limits the government from doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I think that the people are already ready. That's the reason we have the marches in the street on the lizard, on the prairie chicken. We marched about the Forest Service because right. I'm saying I'm fed up and the people of New Mexico are fed up. Maybe the rest of the country's not, but we had 1,000 people show up once here, yeah. Another 400 show up another time. Mm-hmm. People are fed up with the way the government is willing to take the side of the lizard over feeding their families. And so people are fed up, and I agree with.
We got so many people that are on the government dole now.
Yeah.
You know, we have jobs that are available, but we got people sitting on their butt not wanting to go to work. I mean, we got so many jobs available in southeastern New Mexico.
Right.
When I go to Artesia or Carlsbad or Hobbs, I see help wanted signs everywhere. Well, our unemployment rate ought to be zero.
It ought to be zero. And so again, if you refuse to take a job that's available, I think you shouldn't get support.
Yeah, I think you ought to. And I mean, we'll never pass drug testing for unemployment recipients or welfare recipients in New Mexico. It's just never going to pass.
Well, I've got those two bills in Congress. I don't think it's going to pass there until, like the man that's calling, James said, everybody is fed up. And when people get fed up, we're going to start fixing the problem. But I'm hearing that anger neck deep. That people in Washington are not responsible. They can break the law. The IRS employees can break the law. Nothing ever happens. Geithner didn't pay his taxes. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens. MF Global, the guy John Corzine, takes money out of segregated accounts. Nothing happens. People are fed up with nothing happening.
But the other thing to that, too, also, Congressman, is that we got to go to the voting booths.
Mm-hmm.
People, I mean, they can complain all they want to, but if they're going to sit home on Election Day.
Yeah. You got to vote, but also I'm just saying it's going to take even more than voting. You got to stand in the street.
You got to stand in the street,
and you got to get their attention. The Forest Service or the Fish and Wildlife Service, when they came here to Roswell, said, "Hey, could you go talk to those people outside? They're a little testy. They didn't get a seat inside here." I said, "Talk to them, man. I'm going to give them your home phone number."
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure it's going to come up. Tom had a news report a couple weeks ago, and I know there were people at your office in Hobbs here talking about amnesty. What is your stance on amnesty?
I just don't think we can do amnesty. It sends the wrong message to other people who would like to come here. I like immigration, but it should be legal, not illegal. We can't provide a job for everyone in the world. We got 7.5% of our nation is not working right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to just let people keep coming across. At some point, we just sink the nation economically. So what I would do, I'm sympathetic to the idea that, okay, people have been here working. I would give guest worker programs, but you can't become a citizen with the guest worker program. We can protect you, give you so you're not exploited. We can get you out of the shadows, but you pay your taxes and you just follow the law. But if you want to be a citizen, there's already a process for that.
So, hey, morning. How are you doing? Where are you calling from?
Artesia.
All right. Talk to me and talk to Congressman. Go ahead.
Yes, Congressman Pierce. What I'd like to ask is, you know, we've got problems here in the Pecos Valley and all over New Mexico with the drought and lack of water, wells going dry, communities having problems. What I'm wondering is, and I work in the oil field also, but, you know, with this fracking, we're using millions of gallons of fresh water. Water rights are being sold, or water being sold to the oil field for fresh water to frack these wells. And I just don't understand, if we got such a problem with water in New Mexico, why so much water is being used in the oil field? It's got to be some other technology to save our fresh water.
The question is a very good one. The drought is causing tremendous pressure. It's one of the reasons that we raise the question so hard on the Forest Service. When they let the trees grow in the forest, then it starves the water from percolating down, getting into our aquifers. So that's the main thing that we need to do. But then the second question you talk about is on the fracking, is that we're working with some of the oil companies. Devon was one of the ones, and COG, to have them develop processes with the salty water that comes out of the oil wells. But then the other side of that is that if we shut off the fracking, we're probably going to reduce the oil produced around here by at least 50%, maybe 80%.
You know. Don't they also use some brine water for that too as well?
They're very limited on the brine water, but that's what we're suggesting. You know, just in Hobbs alone, they produce 1 million barrels a day out of the city limits of Hobbs of brine water. So we just need to be able to put that back into the formations. Right now, they still don't have the technology, but there are groups working across New Mexico and Texas that are actually cleaning up that brine water well enough to where it can be used for fracking. Just don't have it to where they can produce enough of it yet. But I think that a lot of people are concerned about the same question.
Absolutely.
Hey, morning. Question for the congressman. Go ahead. By the way, where are you calling from?
I'm calling out of Roswell. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, I got a question for you. I know Mr. Congressman was a big oil and gas guy there in Hobbs. With all the oil and stuff that's going on out there in Lee County and Eddy County, it's great for the economy and so forth. But, Congressman, what are you doing to help protect the land out there on the ground? We got a mess out there. There's oil leaking everywhere. There's trash there. So there's another part to making money out there and protecting the resources out there for, you know, the folks out there that like to go out and hunt and don't have to come up on these oil paths that are leaking everywhere, these open pits that are freaking got animals dying in them. And also, you know, your comment just now, the Forest Service is growing too many trees and not letting the fresh water in. Well, I think that's a proc. That, yeah, we are wasting so much water one day that we are going to go dry. All you big rich guys out there are going to pack up and leave, while the rest of us that live here and will live here forever are the ones that are going to suffer. So we need to control that water use out there somehow, some way. Don't blame another agency for.
Hey, let me before I let the congressman, do you have a problem with people making money?
Do I have a problem? Absolutely not. Do you?
No, heck no. I think that's what makes our country great, is that. You know,
that's what it's all about, is going out there and making a dollar to make, you know.
Well, I just saw you referred to him as a rich guy, so I was just like, you know.
Well, you know who, you know, the good old buddy system. We know what's going on out here.
So this idea that there's no correlation between the numbers of trees that are grown and the lack of water in our rivers is just false. Many of the aquifers are being starved for water. We're pumping them, yes, but also they're not being recharged because our Forest Service, our watersheds, are not managed properly. The initial law for the Forest Service had two functions. One, they were to create jobs by cutting timber. But the second thing, equally important, was to manage the watersheds. They understood the relationship between the Forest Service and places miles away, hundreds of miles away. So I think we need to understand that relationship, but I do see, I'm not seeing the open pits, the leaking pipelines. I see the pipeline patrols flying almost every day. So I'm watching the BLM do their job. They watch carefully over our land, and I'm pretty
satisfied. And if somebody comes across something, it's important to report it.
Report it.
All right, let's take another call. Morning, how are you doing? Where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm back.
All right, question for the congressman. Go ahead.
You know, I got somewhere around about a $4.5 to $5 raise this year, and I'm actually bringing home less money than I was last year. And I had plenty built up in a savings account, and it's starting to catch up to me so fast that, you know, I actually have to worry about it now. I didn't know if there's any kind of plan going on, because we got people that, I mean, I literally know people on welfare who are living better than I am, and I'm out here working 60, 70 hours a week.
That's one of the great problems that we face, is that people can work hard and not do as well as people who sit at home. And so our system is encouraging unproductive behavior. But then back to the taxes. Last year, you saw that that deal right at the end of the year, around the 31st of December, going up towards midnight, and we're going to just tax the rich. I voted no on that, because it was actually a tax on every single American.
Yeah.
And people started seeing their taxes go up. You know, I voted no a lot of times in Washington against our leadership on spending. In fact, that's going to come up when we go back into D.C. And I was saying the same thing that this gentleman is saying, that the people are paying enough in taxes. We don't have a tax problem in the country. We have a spending problem. Let's slow the spending down. We can do it in many ways that don't hurt people. We can start balancing our budget. If we did that, then people just trying to pay the bills would get by. But then the most insidious thing that we're doing is we're printing about 70% of the nation's deficit.
Wow.
We're printing $1 trillion a year. We can't borrow the money anymore from other countries, because they can't give us that much money. So if we don't fix this problem, what we're going to continue to see are examples exactly like this caller.
Right.
It used to be enough money, and now it's not. It's not because he's making less money. Mm-hmm. It's because the money is worth less. So when he goes to the grocery store, when he pays his rent, it's just not enough to go around, even though he got a $4 an hour raise. The reasons for this is that they're devaluing the value of the dollar by printing it. It's causing inflation. And this is the most destructive thing. It's almost invisible. And so we've been talking about Ben Bernanke for the last couple of years, printing $1 trillion a year. We're going to destroy the middle class by the printing of money if we don't get ourselves in control.
Yeah, we are in hyperinflation.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, what used to cost you white grapes. White grapes used to be, you know, about 29 cents a pound. $1.59 a pound.
Yeah.
And lake water chicken used to be 29 cents a pound. Have you looked lately? $1.79 a pound.
And we just last year did an event. The guy that was catering the breakfast came in and said, you know, I used whatever amount of bacon. He said last year it cost me $59. This year it was $129.
Wow.
And so just for the bacon for that breakfast.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it's.
And so that's the reason people can't make ends meet. And it's a hidden tax. This printing of money is a hidden tax that affects families like this, and they don't know exactly what's going on. But we in Washington know, and we should be doing something about it.
But yet the president sends millions overseas.
Yes, yeah. The jet fighters to the Muslim Brotherhood. I just think that we shouldn't do that. I think keep our money here, but mostly we need to get our spending in control.
Well, number one, the Muslim Brotherhood is not very stable. And I just don't believe that we should give money to countries. I think we need to stand by the Israelis.
Yes.
But the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, I don't think we ought to be giving them anything.
The Muslim Brotherhood was outlawed in every Arab country prior to when the Egyptian, or the first overthrow, Egypt, Libya.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they then came back in and took over. But the Arab countries said, these guys are too radical for a stable society. They had outlawed them. They were mostly operating out of England. And now then we're giving them another foothold. That's what's going on in Syria right now. And so I just think we need to keep out of it.
I want to talk to you about the future of the Republican Party. I got to pay some bills, but I'll be back. I want to talk about that. We'll take some more calls, too. Congressman Steve Pierce is with us this morning. It's 836.
Have you ever?